Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Good afternoon and a warm welcome to the show. This is Bill Arnold. So glad you're with me today because we've got a very fascinating hour coming up with Vince Miller. He wrote a book called 30 Virtues That Build a Man. He also wrote a great article for Desiring God, 9 Attributes of a Real Man. We're going to chat with him. I had a chance just to have him in the studio just an hour ago because he's got to zip off to Wisconsin to speak to a big group tonight. And I was just, thinking about men. We're a little complicated at times. There's no question about that. I mean, I was picking up my towels off my bathroom floor with my toes. I'm going, what am I, part monkey? Why do I do that? I should bend over and pick it up. And then I saw this warning on the box that the iron came in that said, do not iron a garment while wearing it. I go, you know, they put that warning on the box not because of some woman, but because of some guy. Some guy said, hey, I burnt myself ironing. You know, did you have the shirt on? Well, that's the problem. So men are complicated, there's no doubt. And we want to be real men. We want to be wise, godly. We want to make a difference in the kingdom. And men make other men better. So we're going to talk to Vince just after the break. It's almost six minutes after the hour. So when we come back, we'll be with Vince Miller.
For the past 69 years, Faith Radio has stood the test of time. Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. In February of next year, AM 900 in the Twin Cities will celebrate 70 years of broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ. From that humble beginning, the Faith Radio Network has grown to 8 markets with 12 AM and FM signals and more on the way. One owner, one message, 69 years of relevant Bible preaching and family-focused teaching. Thanks to God's faithfulness and thousands of generous listeners through the years, including you. Would you join me in praying for Faith Radio's future? We believe that God has called us to serve Him for such a time as this, and your prayerful partnership is needed and appreciated. If you're not already a member of our monthly support team, would you consider joining? $30 a month is a great way to start your support of this ministry. You can sign up to be a member of Team 360 by visiting our website at myfaithradio.com.
Welcome back to the show. I have in studio Vince Miller, and I'm very excited. As a matter of fact, I had two different callers, encourage me to get Vince Miller on my show within 1 week. Who is this guy? So, here he is. I'm way ahead of the game.
Yeah, I paid both of those people a lot of money to call you.
I know. So, you wrote an article for Desiring God. I want to process some of that with you. 9 attributes of a real man.
Yeah.
And a real man will commit to sacrifice all else in the shadow of discipleship. Not sure I know what that means.
Yeah.
Please explain.
You know, I think that if you really look at the life of Jesus, you really take time to look at the life of Jesus, you're going to see him say and do things that man was not doing. And he not only said them, but he lived them out. And of course, one of the things I think that Jesus Christ did was he sacrificed his life above all other things. And he stepped out of heaven, he stepped into relationship with mankind, and was willing to give it all up because he loved us. And I think that's one of the attributes of manhood, is to learn how to truly sacrifice for other people, whether it be for our relationships at home, in our workplace, and to learn to give things up in a meaningful way for a greater purpose. So when I say sacrifice for the means of discipleship, it's using it as a tool, not only to prove out our life, but as an example for others, because Jesus did that. He said and did things to teach us how to say and do things so that we could become the men that God wants us to be.
I like that a lot. All right, how about a man will commit to be determined and joyfully obedient. Joyful obedience. Probably didn't spit that out right. But the only reason I had trouble spitting that out was he commits to determined, joyful obedience. What am I going to do with all of my low-level anger?
Exactly.
I got lots of it. What am I going to do with it?
We all do.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, isn't that the point? Like, You know, happiness and joy are completely different terms. And it's about finding the joy in a relationship with Christ so that, right, all the other things flow out of it. And I think that's really hard for guys, mm-hmm. is to really understand that. I think of, for example, King David. Right. I think he's actually a perfect depiction of the stages of manhood for most men. You know, he was born into actually a really good family. He battled, animals.
Yeah.
He battled a giant Goliath, and then he had a lot of catastrophe in his life. You know, his life was not perfect. It was actually quite difficult. But I think what happens in David's life is as he continues to mature, is he faces challenges that aren't just external to him. We see all these battles he fights, but I believe the greatest battle he ever fought was a battle with his own soul,
mm-hmm.
right? I love the moment that Nathan confronts him, right? He confronts him about his sin with Bathsheba, calls him out. And yet in that moment, I believe that was his greatest battle, and he came to discover that really who he was fighting with, as Sylvester Stallone said in Creed, was the man of his own heart, mm-hmm. right? And I think that moment describes why David became a man after God's own heart, because he fought the battle with himself and his own soul, his own sin, and he found a way to conquer it by trusting in God, even though it was incredibly uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I think about when I think about some of these attributes here.
I like
the internal battle.
We talk about joyful obedience. I like the word joyful, but who are you when you're alone with your own thoughts?
You know, I'll tell you about last night. You know,
okay,
maybe that would help. You know, me and my wife had a heated debate last night.
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's an argument.
Yeah, I've got her
is.
On the line. Would you like to join her in the conversation?
I don't know. But in the secret confines of my heart, I can remember inside of that argument, like wanting to get my way.
Yeah, sure.
I can remember kind of muscling up inside.
Yeah.
I can remember there were moments that I kind of wanted to give in, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm. You want your pound of flesh? You want a little bit of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, everybody does.
I know.
This isn't just unique to men. This is unique to women, right?
Oh, totally.
I mean, so I think that we get in this moment and we have a real choice that we have to make. Are we going to muscle up,
mm-hmm.
or are we going to really trust God? And I think that's me, man.
So you lost the argument.
I did.
Yeah.
And the war. And... And to be quite honest with you, just to be completely transparent, I probably didn't handle it well, and there was some reconciliation that needed to happen this
sure.
morning, and we're going to kind of continue through that. But
uh-huh.
it's not easy, man.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is where our battle's fought. It's not fought external to us all the time. It's actually fought on the inside of the human heart.
Mm-hmm. Why are our fuses so short? Men have a very short fuse. What is that all about?
You know, everybody has anger. Just they all
Why,
manifest
though? What are we so mad about?
I think...
Why are we so threatened? Somebody pulls in front of us on the highway and we gotta act out? I mean, that's crazy.
You know, the human ego is amazing, isn't it? It wants to be king of our life. It wants to sit on the throne of all things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Bill, I think we have to understand what it really means to abdicate that, but maintain our identity in
mm-hmm.
the process, right? I think that's the hard part, is we struggle to see that if we fight for what we want, even in our marriage or at work or in life or success or with money or whatever it is that threatens our existence, it attacks us at the identity core. And as soon as it does, you know, the initial response might be anger. It might also be depression for some people. It might be medicating for other people, for that matter, right? It's not always just anger. It's anger manifested in a lot of different ways. But I think guys are really threatened in their identity when they start to feel like it unravels. They want to pull it back, so they explode, you know? I'm not necessarily an exploder. I'm kind of more of an imploder that gets kind of silently angry and then protests kind of silently with my feet or my actions or whatever, not typically with my mouth. But there's people out there who explode in anger, and they manifest it that way. Everybody's a little different, but I think it's an attack at the identity core is what it is. I think the best depiction of manhood that I like is the one who says, let's get down dirty and gritty, and let's look at the man of Jesus Christ and see how he behaved, how he loved, how he acted, how he lived out mercy and forgiveness and generosity in such unusual ways,
mm-hmm.
because he was the ultimate depiction of man. That's the definition I love, and I fall in love with that, because I think when we see those images and pictures of Jesus Christ and other people, we're kind of grabbing hold of perfect manhood right there. And it's not what we think it is all the time. It's not conquering. It's not having the next conquest. It's not machismo, having, you know, taking domain. It's not necessarily fighting a battle in war. It's fighting the battle in our own heart, right?
No kidding.
And I think that's where we've got to go. We got to move inward into the character, into the soul of all mankind. And of course, I believe it's applicable both to men and women.
Yeah. Reminds me of that, that line from Creed, I think, which is Sylvester Stallone movie where he walked up to a mirror with his boxing protege and said, "There's your toughest opponent right there."
Right,
it's the guy looking back at you.
Yeah, I know. You fight him.
Yeah, that's the guy you have to fight.
Yeah, Sylvester Stallone has some great quotes in those movies.
He does.
By the way,
yeah,
I think
does.
About manhood if we were really listening carefully.
Yeah, but we're not going to do that today.
Okay. All right.
All right. We're going to take a break, Vince. And then when we come back, we're going to continue talking to Vince Miller more about the attributes of a real man. So we'll take a short break and be right back. Welcome back. We are so glad to have Vince Miller in studio. He was able to find his way here because of GPS. So that's a good thing. And we're awfully glad he's here because he's got a busy trip to Wisconsin tonight. You're speaking in a men's group tonight.
Yeah, there's a big banquet for fathers tonight.
Yeah, and obviously with Father's Day on Sunday, we're certainly thinking about that. Vince, you grew up in a fatherless home, and that was not easy.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I will say that I think part of the challenge was my father, who is gone at this point, was, you know, just a really rough man, Vietnam vet, had a lot of struggles in life, came back from Vietnam addicted to opium and kind of continued that path with his life. My mom, who was, I would say, agnostic for at least part of her life, really struggled to really connect with God and find meaning in him. And I will tell you that that challenge right there, for me, I didn't realize how difficult it was until now I look back. And my wife has often said to me, I wonder how you ever became a Christian knowing your upbringing. And I actually don't know. I don't understand it. It's quite bizarre. But somehow God got a hold of my heart and I fell in love with him. Right.
So we're going through an article that you wrote for Desiring God, which I found very fascinating. 9 attributes of a real man. And I think we're at about maybe the fourth point, which is a real man will commit to spiritual discipline. And I couldn't agree more.
Good. Yeah.
Do say more, though.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty simple. I think, spiritual discipline is something that we use to discipline really the heart, right? And to get the heart to kind of move along and to change motivation. And I believe guys that are following Christ need to engage, even if it's uncomfortable, with the hope that that learning of obedience will lead to obedience done for the right reasons, right? Yeah, including prayer, reading your Bible, having spiritual conversation, living in brotherhood with other people, whatever that discipline might be. I mean, you could even be giving to a church or giving to an organization like Faith Radio. I mean, it's just discipline that we do to get the heart to submit to God's will in a healthy way, so we do things for the right reason.
Yeah. All right. What about committing to growth and production? Say more about that.
Well, you know, that's we're starting to reach for the fruit in the vine now, right?
We're starting to
get connected. So, you know, I grew up in California where, you know, every once in a while you would see a tree with multiple fruits on it. I don't know if you've ever seen that before.
But
you haven't.
No,
okay, so in California you can see grafted in fruit trees where you can have an orange and a lemon tree together.
Okay,
so basically they just cut part of the limb and they tape them together. They slice them together at a 45-degree angle. It's bizarre. It sounds made up, but it really exists. I've seen trees with 5 fruits on them before.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. 5 fruits. So this lesson on producing has a lot to do with grafting in, abiding in Christ, right? Like, so that's the concept there, that I believe one of the attributes of a man is to be grafted in so that we can produce. Produce is an outcome, right? So when you go to the produce aisle, you're getting outcomes of another plant is what you're getting. And we are an outcome of being grafted into Jesus Christ. So there is a man that produces is grafted and abides in Christ.
Why did you tell me that wearing sunglasses?
I don't know.
You should take those off and try to convince me again that you can tape two trees together. I don't know if I'm buying that. Yeah,
I'm telling you, it happens.
Really?
Man. Someone's going to call you, I promise you.
I hope so, and set that record straight.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. A real man wants to carry out God's mission.
See?
Yeah.
It's not about our mission, right?
Never has been, never will be.
It doesn't, but we believe it is. You know, we believe more in the American dream than we believe in the mission of God.
Okay.
And unfortunately, I think we've been oversold the American dream. It's not our dreams that we're trying to accomplish. It's God's dreams.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually, when we come to Christ, we're called to abdicate our dreams for his dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yes, if his dreams align with our giftedness in life, then, yeah, we're called to live those out. But, you know, it's really about God's mission. It's not about mine.
You've used the word abdicate three times. Do you think I'm some kind of college boy?
Uh-huh, exactly.
Okay.
To give up.
To give up. Okay. How about a real man commits to loving others faithfully?
Mm.
Okay, say more.
Yeah, so
take a drink of water if you need.
Yeah,
if you need to, go ahead.
Okay, so check this out.
Don't
make
me wait.
Yeah, I won't. I won't make you wait. So, you know, God, we need to be loved. I think all people need to be loved. You know, I've heard you talk about your family growing up too, and you know, we want love. We want unconditional love. And we don't want to remain the same. We want to change. And the people that love us want to see us change too. But I will never forget that moment in my life when I had kind of walked away from my grandfather's teaching as a teenager. I suddenly discovered that I had walked a wrong path. I came back home to his house after being gone, after living a lifestyle that I shouldn't have lived for at least a year. Came back home, walked up to the door, and I was welcomed with warm arms by my grandfather, who didn't have to accept me, didn't have to welcome me in. He opened the door and he said these words. He turned his head to the kitchen and my grandmother and said, "Grandma, our son has come home."
Oh my gosh.
And it took me years to discover that he was actually a little bit shaming me with the prodigal son thing,
mm-hmm.
you know?
you didn't know that right away.
I didn't know
either.
It right away. I came to discover that years later, but I realized that he was calling me the prodigal. But you know what he did? He loved and accepted me, even though I was making bad choices, but he didn't want to see me stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a lot of conversations over the coming weeks, and it led me to Jesus Christ, is what happened. I was welcomed in by unconditional, all-out love. And I think not only do we need to accept it, but in these nine attributes here of a real man,
mm-hmm.
we need to give it to other people, man.
Yeah.
That's exactly why I'm sitting here with you guys today. I'm sitting here today because my grandfather loved me like Jesus Christ loved us,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's where this love concept comes from.
All right, here's one thing I sort of understand about men. Or maybe this is just human nature. This is everybody. People don't like the way things are, yet they don't like change.
Oh, we're resistant to change, bro.
But we don't like the way things are. You know, I know a lot of men, most everybody, that has something about their life. They don't like the way things are going, but yet they don't want to change. What's up with that, Vince?
Oh, so there's someone listening I
just
know
don't
right
use the word
now.
Advocate
I won't. I know there's a guy listening right now that I just talked to today, I promise you. And so as he's listening to the show, he calls me up today and he says, "You know, I don't know whether I should take this new job or not." And I want to let you know that he has talked to me for like 3 years about changing his job.
Okay.
Okay. And I finally had the audacity to say to him over the phone, I said to him, "Dude, what are you waiting for? Mm-hmm. I've listened to you for 3 years talk about how much you don't like your job.
Uh-huh.
Can I push you off the diving board a little bit?" And I said to him, "What are you waiting for? The greatest adventure of your life is right before you. But you're not going to find it staying where you're at. You're going to have to go do something." You know, most guys wait for pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking, this is true for women too, so I don't want to exclude women. But most people wait for pain to make a change. But they wait too long. They wait till they get caught. They wait till they get fired. They wait till the entire thing falls apart, mm-hmm. and then they make a change. Why not go on the greatest adventure of your life by submitting yourself to change every day? Like, God doesn't change. We do. Right?
Yeah.
We're the people that change. So why not go on the greatest adventure of your life and submit yourself to ongoing, appropriate change for the better that aligns itself with God's word? Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Peter was the only one who ever got out of the boat. And he was also the only one who ever walked on water for a few seconds.
Right.
But he did. He walked on water. I'm actually jealous of him. And God gives us that great adventure every day to take a couple of steps mm-hmm. out on the water. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might sink, but you'll learn a lesson. You'll never learn a lesson if you don't sink. Mm-hmm. Right? The best way to learn is not by doing nothing. It's by doing something and making some mistakes. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, make some mistakes with me. Will you?
Yeah.
Make some mistakes.
I've made plenty of them.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Good for you.
Yeah. I want to get to nine, then I've got a couple other questions.
Okay.
Committing, a real man will commit to brotherhood and community.
Mm.
I know that's key.
Dude, I have seen guys weep over this particular lesson. So, you know, we put this in a package of a study that men do with videos and handbooks and whatnot. But this particular lesson is the one that I think men live on an island too much. We're ashamed of our sin. We're ashamed of our issues. We don't really want to talk about them. And I'm telling you, the only thing that sharpens iron is another piece of iron.
Right.
Right. Proverbs 27:17. It's the only thing. Iron separate from one another that's not being used rusts. That's what it does. But iron that slaps against other iron, it
yeah.
sharpens and it
yeah.
refines and becomes better. And if we think we can do the spiritual life alone, we are wrong. I mean, like, you're missing the point, man. If you think you can go to church on a Sunday morning, listen to a great sermon, walk out changed, you're missing the whole thing. You're going to have to rub up against another brother. It's the only thing that's going to make you better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was a chaplain for a football team in the South, TCU football, and I got to tell
TCU?
You. TCU? Yeah.
I went there.
The Horned Frog.
You
I did.
Went there, yeah. I was there for a semester.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I
And you were
graduated.
Really smart.
Then I graduated.
That's awesome. So I was a Horned Frog, too. So, you know,
were
I mean,
you really?
No. I worked there, so
okay.
it was that's as yeah, much was, as I'm a Horned
yeah,
Frog.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was living in Milton Daniel, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that spot.
I was in the jock dorm. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
No, okay.
Yeah. That's awesome. So enough
yeah.
about that. So anyway.
No, I'd like to talk about that some
would
more.
You? I loved working with athletes. Here's why I loved working with athletes. They're with each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part about it is they're standing by your side. They've got your back. They're encouraging you. They're pushing you. Yeah, sometimes they're making fun of you and shaming you in front of other people. But it's all for your betterment, right?
Right.
Because we're better together than we are alone. I learned such great lessons by working with that football team down there about what true brotherhood looks
mm-hmm.
like. And I wish the church would learn it. Because if we would submit ourselves to relationship with other men, accountability happens. When accountability happens, everybody gets better, man. Everybody gets better.
Yeah.
Accountability drives results.
Yeah.
And that's where community and brotherhood
now,
comes in.
I love the proverb, iron sharpens iron, so one man another. I've never really heard anybody speak about what happens when iron rubs against other iron, because there's sparks big time.
Oh, it's, man.
It appears a little dangerous, doesn't it?
Well,
I mean, I sometimes think that we think of it because if it's in a biblical sense, it's got to be gentle and loving, but it can be rough and sparky, right?
Oh, man. Do you watch that show on TV? I don't know. I watch it right now. What's the name of that show where they make the swords and the knives and stuff?
Oh, I don't watch
I
that.
I watch it all the time. It's
really?
Awesome. You
got to
watch
yeah.
it. Okay. I can't think of it right now. Someone out there knows. But, you know, they take, like, springs and iron and pieces of metal, and they smash them. They heat them up. They
mm-hmm.
superheat them.
Yeah.
They slam them. They, you know, these
yeah.
blacksmiths are smashing
right.
on it. They're pounding it down. Then they're grinding on it. I mean, then they're shining it, and they're engraving it. There's all sorts of beauty to that process, but you don't get a sword or a knife or, you know, any of these tools by just, by you know.
Yeah. All right, Vince, I want to continue this conversation. Let me take a little break, and we come back more with Vince Miller in just a minute. Welcome back. So glad you are still with us. I've got Vince Miller still in studio. I begged him to stay, so he said, sure. We just were reviewing the nine attributes of a real man as we're thinking about Father's Day this weekend. And we all men want to be godly, and we want to be leaders. We want to be joyful. We want to enjoy spiritual disciplines. We want to abide in the word of truth. We want to grow. We always want to be moving forward. We want to carry out God's mission. We want to love others faithfully. We want to be part of a brotherhood. Vince, you've written a book called 30 Virtues That Build a Man.
Yeah.
And I want to have you talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, this book was designed to put men together. Is what it's designed for. You know, I have felt called over the last number of years to give men tools that put them together in relationship with other men. That's it. And this book is designed for two men or a small group of men to have a conversation with each other around God's word. I believe Bible and brotherhood changes a man. You know, just like we're talking about iron sharpening iron.
Mm-hmm.
This, I believe, is a tool you can put in any man's hand and it can take all the guesswork out of a conversation with him. So, no joke, I wrote the book. I did one of the first lessons with my son, who's 17, my middle child. And we got done with the very first lesson, and he looked across at me and he said, "Dad, I never knew that about you."
Wow.
And I discovered what I had created. I had created a story between two men.
Mm-hmm.
Men love to tell stories to each other. And it doesn't require a lot of reading. It's a lot of questions, a question-asking methodology around the scripture that allows two men to sit down, grab a cup of coffee, grab a breakfast, eat lunch together, whatever it is, and look each other in the eye and tell stories about life that kind of shape the gospel into their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so 30 Virtues That Build a Man is the first in a, I'm calling it the 30 series of discussion guides that get men talking. Because I believe there are men out there that need to be pairing up with one another, building relationships around God's word, that they need to beef up their spiritual life. They're looking for other men to pour into them. I haven't told you this, but
Why are you holding out?
I don't know.
Seriously.
I got to stop holding out on the great stuff.
Got to stop holding out.
Okay, so here comes the great stuff. So
all right, good. Finally.
My grandfather was the person essentially who led me to Christ through his mentorship between the ages of, I'd say, about 12, 13 to about 20. He got cancer when I was 21. He died. I watched him die at his bedside, and I remember praying a prayer out loud while I'm watching him die, and I said, "God, for the rest of my life, I want to do for other men what my grandfather did for me," which was mentor me.
Sweet. Oh, my gosh.
And then I said,
"So sweet.
But God, would you please replace my grandfather to me in my life?"
Mm.
20 years went by. 2 to 5 times a year, I asked men to mentor me. No one ever did. I got two excuses. I don't have time. And I have no idea what to do.
Mm.
Faithfully for 20 years. No one did. I promise you, no one. It's bizarre. I kind of wondered if it was a problem unique to me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I will let you know. I will let you know. There are other men, as soon as I say that, that nod their head immediately. And I was going, that ain't right. We are called to discipleship and mentorship. As far as I read it in God's word in Matthew 28, we're called. This is how God's word is passed on, is through people and relationship. Mm-hmm. Everything I've learned, I have learned from somebody else. Everything. And we're sitting in this room today, us together, because of what Jesus Christ did with 12 men. The fact that he did what he did with those 12 men changed the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have committed with resources like this, like 30 Virtues That Build a Man, to move men into those relationships so they can tell the stories of Jesus Christ that they've always wanted to tell their children, their grandchildren, their brothers, their nephews, their cousins, people in their church, in their workplace, in their life, that they need to be building relationships with, because this kingdom is dependent upon us. We're going to carry it forward. And if we continue to be silent and apathetic when God calls us to speak and to share, we're going to watch the silence of the Christian kingdom come about in our time if we don't get people talking about it.
Yeah.
So that's what that book is
about.
That's
awesome. Mentorship is really critical. I've got a little personal board of directors.
Really?
I've got like 5 men in my life that I've known for forever, and I've basically given them the right to pull rank on me if I'm doing something stupid, and I'll obey.
See, I love that.
Yeah.
So you're actually handing them the leadership baton in
your
life.
They can fire me from me if they want to.
That's beautiful, though, man. I don't meet guys all the time that have that in their life, but I love that you do that, and it's giving people the permission to say the hard things to
you. What, I don't have blind spots? I have blind spots, and if someone sees me stepping into something, I want them to knock me out of their way, and I will yield to what you say, because I can't think that I'm going to be the smartest guy in the world regarding even myself.
Yeah. I think
does that
make
sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
I think
good.
Some of the wisest words we could ever learn are these words: you may be right.
Yeah.
Right? Those words are really good.
Great words.
Yeah, they're serious. You may be, not you are right.
You may be.
But you may be right.
Yes.
With the presupposition that I need perspective outside of myself.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I can't see everything. Like, you know, you'll never actually see a true picture, depiction of your face. You can look in a mirror. It's always backwards, right?
Right, right.
It's always backwards. But you'll never see a true depiction of your face, but somebody else can tell you exactly what that looks like. Right?
Yeah.
Blemishes and all.
True. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm thinking of Jesus when he's baptized. He's being baptized by John the Baptizer.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out of the waters of baptism. The heavens open. A dove descends. And the actual voice of God says, "This is my son whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased." I think if you're a man, you pretty much need to hear those things from your dad.
Wow.
"You are my boy. Mm-hmm. I love you. I'm proud of you." And if a man doesn't hear those three things, he goes out and spends the rest of his life trying to hear those somewhere.
Okay, so here's how I put it to men. I think there's five voices we hear, right? So these are the five voices of man. There's the man that we think we are. That's the arrogant man, right?
Yeah.
Far from God. There's the man others think we are, right? Then there's the man we think others think we are.
It's getting confusing, Vince. You got to dumb it down for me here. All right.
There's the man we think others think
okay.
we are, right?
Okay, yeah. I got that.
Getting a little interesting there. Then there's the man we actually are, which is a sinner. But then there is the man that God calls us to be, and that's Ephesians 1.
Mm-hmm.
It's understanding our identity in Christ, right? In Christ. And I think guys have to kind of walk through these other voices in their head to hear the voice that you just said, "This is my son and who I am well pleased." Mm-hmm. And I think there's men across the country today listening to this program right now who need to hear that I am dearly loved by God.
Yes.
Because they feel unaccepted in their own mind, in their own life, by the people around them. Even, I think sometimes, you know, we're talking about this argument that I had with my wife, you know, just recently, yesterday, I think we were talking about that. And I can't remember now.
We might not have been.
Exactly. But, you know, this argument I had, it causes me to reflect on the man that I am. Am I worthy? Am I loved? Am I right? Am I wrong? But am I truly loved by God? So even hearing you say that to me right now, mm-hmm. those words,
yes.
I'm hearing them in a very powerful and spiritual way. Vince, I love you.
God. And I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
And you're
exactly.
mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that makes a huge difference. And, you know, I know of some extremely successful men that are still trying to find their dad's approval.
Oh.
And I go, what? You are so successful and rich. Why are you still trying to get your dad's approval? Because he is.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah. Well, and you know, on the other side of the fence, not just the ones that are driving and striving for success, but I mean, there's a super high percentage of men who are in prison who grew up fatherless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know you know. It's like above 90%. It's crazy.
Of course it is.
Yeah,
I know. It's.
But they need to hear the voice that God loves you and accepts mm-hmm. you and welcomes you into a relationship with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every kid is looking for security. When you hear, "You're my son, I love you, and I, you know, and you're mine," a kid goes out into the world in strength.
Yeah.
If he doesn't hear that, he goes out into the world in weakness.
Yeah.
I think it's that simple.
It is pretty simple. We have to be a son first before we can ever be anything else.
Yeah.
Right? We have to understand our identity and sonship.
Yeah.
I think that's why Paul constantly saw himself in light of his relationship with God. Constantly. He was always referring to himself as servant of the Most High King, right? Servant, slave of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I think that positional understanding that he lied underneath the lordship and the salvation of his king helped him to see himself in light of not his arrogance or the way other people saw him, the way he thought other people saw them,
mm-hmm.
or even through his sinfulness. It caused him to see the world differently. And I think that's why a redeemed worldview, someone who is underneath the lordship and the salvation of Jesus Christ, sees the world differently,
mm-hmm.
right? It's because their identity has been shaped as a son. And I specifically think men need to really understand what that looks like. I know I did.
Yeah.
Here's a little story for you. So my father, after my mother died of a heart attack induced by drugs. So my father called me after he heard my mother died, and I hadn't spoken to him in 15 years. And he called me up and he said, "Hey, this is your dad." And I almost didn't recognize his voice. And the words out of his mouth next floored me. He was intoxicated, and he said to me, "Hey, I heard you sold your mom's house. I expect you to pay me back for all the years of child support that I paid to her."
Mm.
And I can't tell you what that did to my identity, Bill. It actually turned my world upside down. And I remember I was trying to figure out what to do with it. And so I decided to write him a letter. And so I wrote him this letter, and a lawyer friend found out about it. And he said, hey, can I help you with that letter? And so we started writing the letter together, and then he had me kind of proof it. He proofed it for me and had me adjust some things. And then I went back to the drawing table and did it again, and then I handed it back to him, and he said, now take these tones out of it that I'm hearing in your voice, a two-page letter. And then we abbreviated it, and I handed it back to him, and he said, now can we have breakfast? And I said, yes. And he said, let's have breakfast. We did. He looked me in the eyes, and he says, now what I want you to do is I want you to tear up this letter. And I was like, you want me to do what? I just spent 2 weeks writing this thing. I'm like, come on, man. I really got ready for war on this one, you know? And he said, no. He said, it's not going to accomplish anything for you to send this to him. You know that. He said, I did this for you because you need to see that it's not about your earthly father. It's about you understanding what it means to submit to your heavenly father as his son. And then understand how that comes out in relationship with other people.
Yeah. Vince, we've got a minute left. Any words of encouragement to the fathers out there?
You know, dads out there, I think there's just a couple of things that you probably need to hear. Number one is this, is that you have to find your identity in God first, right? You got to do that first. And then as you are being a father, remember, turn every moment that you can into a teachable moment. Every moment. It's not about having a perfect strategy. It's not about doing everything right. You're going to screw things up, but turn every moment, even if it's your moment, into a teachable moment for those in your home. If you can do those two things, I believe you'll understand Deuteronomy 6, which is the great commandment in the Old Testament, what it means to love God with all your heart and to teach and walk and talk about all these things with the people around you. So find your identity in Christ and turn every moment into a teachable moment.
Vince, just been great having you in studio. Thank you so much. His book is 30 Virtues That Build a Man. I tell you, this is a easy book to pick up and look through, and it will stimulate conversation with you and your buddies, and it's time to get talking. All right, we'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute. It's 14 minutes until the top of the hour. I'm thinking about Father's Day coming up this weekend on Sunday. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Say, if you have a lovely memory of dad or a great tribute to your dad and you'd like to share it, how about calling me right now? 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And the memory could be something that, you know, you remember, obviously, when you were a kid. And that doesn't mean your dad is not alive, but you just have a great memory. Or you want to have a nice tribute to dad. I had a conversation with my friend George Fraser, who co-hosts Real Recovery with me. I asked him about his dad when he was here with me in the studio the other day. And we had a lovely conversation. Here it is. We are just talking today about dads and the impact that they had on our lives and little tributes to dad. And I have George Fraser, my friend and partner from Real Recovery, in studio with me now. And George, you must have a nice little story about your dad or the way your dad impacted your life.
I don't know if it's nice and little, but well, my dad was the biggest figure in my life. I had a great dad, Bob Fraser.
Love it.
And as you know, my dog's name's Bob now. It's kind of an honorarium for him. But my dad was the first one in his family to go to college. He's from St. Joe, Missouri, and his family was very poor. Got a football scholarship out in California, blew his knee out, couldn't finish it, came back, played, I think, D2 college basketball. Anyway, came up here, built a pretty big business up. But my favorite childhood memory with dad was my dad played golf at Interlochen. In fact, I got kind of confused about church there because we never went in the summer. You know, I thought church was like school. Didn't get the concept. Still don't, probably. But the PGA used to come by and play a pro-am here in St. Paul. And my dad played in the pro-am, and the pro was Lee Trevino. Now, he had won the U.S. Open, British Open, Canadian Open, and my dad beat him. And I just remember walking around with buck teeth going, but my dad beat Lee Trevino, you know. Fat little kid with buck teeth. Things don't change. Yeah. I'm not heavy anymore. But my dad, gave me the tough love when I got into trouble. And he wrote me a letter. I think I was a sophomore after I got kicked out of Blake.
Sophomore in high school?
Yeah.
So what, are you 23?
22.
22, okay.
Yeah, my wife's age now. Yeah, so I got this letter. I want to convey some thoughts to you.
Mm-hmm.
And what it said was, should have saved it, but at the time I was so angry. I'm not going to be your buddy. I'm going to be your dad first. And now that I'm a step-parent, I get where you want to be a buddy to your kids. And my dad wasn't. And he took a tough line with me. And I remember when I was in treatment the last time, they did this thing called Family Week, right, which is really tough. And they have your whole group sit around in chairs, and your person of interest, significant other, would be toe-to-toe to you, chair to chair in the middle of the room. My dad has this yellow legal pad, you know, he's chairman of a company. George, you know what it's like to have a kid? I'm going to change this. Who's a total goof-off?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, I'm going to tell you. And he reads all these things. Well, Bill, everything he has is right.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff he didn't have, but what he had was dead on.
Yeah.
And the counselor goes, you know, Bob, we kind of get the idea here. Why don't you? He goes, no, I'm not even halfway done. He kept going, you know. And at the end, he looked at me and he said, what do you have to say for yourself, son? I said, Dad, I'm sorry. He said, George, a real man, if he's truly sorry, he doesn't do it anymore. And I remember, you know, how humiliated, embarrassed. I go back to my room, and I remember crying, thinking, he's right, but I can't stop this. A few years later, a couple years later, it stopped. But that was the tough love, and I'll always remember that. I've talked about that on our show, that if you're really sorry about what you do, hey, don't do it anymore. And I never really connected those dots. I guess what I wasn't sorry I was doing it. I was sorry I got caught. There were consequences. And God gave me a dad who loved me enough to tell me the truth so I wouldn't spend eternity in hell. And I will be grateful for that. My dad died in 2003, and I look forward to seeing him again soon. I thought I might see him last year, but it looks like it's going to be delayed. But I did not get shortchanged on my dad. I got the full meal deal with Dad.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Well, George, I always like hearing the stories about your dad. He sounded like he was an awesome guy.
Oh, he would have loved you.
I would have loved him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks so much for sharing that story.
Well, thanks for getting a show that I don't have to get up at 5 to be on. So, thanks, Billy.
Yep. Thanks so much. Thank you so much, George. I just love that. I also have another caller, Cynthia from Buffalo, Minnesota. Hi, Cynthia. Cynthia, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. Thank
you got for taking my call. A memory about your dad.
I do. I was very small. It was about 1960, and it was Christmas time, and it was dark out, and it was snow on the ground, and it was late in the evening, and my mom was getting my baby sister ready for bed, and so I had to wait my turn because it took time. And my father set me up in my PJs in the middle of the living room floor on a big blanket, and he opened up this big bag of walnuts, and he spread them out on newspaper in front of me, and he took out a couple of nutcrackers, and he was trying to show me how to crack nuts. And so, I mean, for me, that was pretty special because my dad often didn't have time for us. And so this was sort of a Norman Rockwell moment, I guess, but it was something that I'll never forget. He was very gentle, and he was very loving. And after that, he wrapped me up in a blanket and took me upstairs. So
that is so sweet.
Yeah, I think
Cynthia.
I was probably 2 or 3 years old, but yeah. I remember that. I do. And my father is still alive. He's 95, and he's one of the very few World War II veterans that are still alive.
Oh, I'm standing and saluting right now.
Oh, thank you. And he still has all his wits about him. He just gave up riding his horse a couple of years ago. He used to be a bodybuilder, so he was very strong.
Wow.
But he's starting to feel it now, so, yeah.
Yeah, what a great story. And what a lovely tribute to your dad, and how nice that you can have him still in your life, and he's 95 years old. That's fantastic.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Well, happy Father's Day to your dad. What's his first name?
Buck.
Buck. Yeah, what's not to like about Buck? Well, God bless Buck, and have happy Father's Day to Buck.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cynthia.
Bye-bye.
Here's another lovely tribute from friends from South Dakota. This is Tess.
My favorite memory with my dad would probably have to be traveling up to the cities to see the live stream of the Early Morning Late Show with Bill Arnold. We left South Dakota at 2 in the morning and drove to the cities with the car smelling like coffee and the two of us talking about the most random subjects possible. We arrived at the University of Northwestern and immediately my dad struck up a conversation with almost everyone in the room. That's one of the obvious traits that has been passed down throughout our family. Being the only South Dakotans there, we were given a special shout-out on the show, which undoubtedly made my dad's day. The show ended, and we struck up a conversation with Bill, which then led to a personally guided tour of the campus and the station by Mr. Arnold himself. After getting a Faith Radio jacket, a couple of books, and a picture with Bill, we started our trek back to Sodak. I think this is probably one of my favorite memories with my dad, because I was able to witness his excitement to be part of one of his favorite radio shows, to hear his story of ups and downs throughout his faith journey, and to experience true kindness and friendliness in the people we met that day. Happy Father's Day to all of the hardworking dads out there. Whether you know it or not, your kids appreciate everything you do for us, big or small, and there's nothing that can ever replace you.
That's so sweet. And, of course, I might have to get that jacket back. I didn't realize that my boss was going to make me pay for it. So, kidding. All right. And then my good friend, Patrick, let's hear it. I guess not. I thought we have it ready, but Patrick is a friend of mine. You probably hear him regularly on the show. And he also had his kids give a little tribute. And do we have that ready or no? No, I guess we don't. So if you still have time, I think we have time for one more. If you want to give us a call, 877-933-2484 with a little tribute to Dad. All you dads out there, just want you to know you're so very, very important. I just enjoyed my conversation with Vince Miller today about 30 virtues that build a man. And if you want to check that out and hear that interview in its entirety, go to myfaithradio.com and check it out. We have that. And now here are Patrick Albany's kids.
My dad is the best dad in the world. I mean, I love him so much.
I agree, too, because he's just an amazing dad.
Oh, thanks a lot, kids. Great job. This clicker training really works. Here's $5 for you and $5 for you.
Thank you.
I think he was kidding. I'm pretty sure he was kidding. But it's always always fun to hear Patrick on the show as well. You know, this is the end of my second week here hosting the afternoons. I got to tell you, I love it, just so you know. And I love you. And I kind of like not having to get up at 3:30 in the morning. But I love the morning show. I really, really loved it. And Dr. Peter Kapsner is doing a great job doing some interim hosting. And it's just so great to be here in the afternoons. And Susie Larson did such a phenomenal job for 8 years in this slot. I know she's got so many listeners and so many people that love her that miss her, as do I. I miss her. I used to listen to her all the time. So it's really it's great to be here in the afternoons. It feels like a slightly more relaxed time. I don't know if that's true or not, but it feels a little bit more relaxed. Maybe I'm just fully awake. And Rebecca has traveled with me. Rebecca, thank you so much for making the journey from mornings to afternoons.
Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, I don't know if I would have done it without you.
Yeah. Well, all I knew was that my key still worked when I came into the studio. So I considered that a good sign.
Yeah.
So it's great to be here.
Yeah. And a happy and happy Father's Day to all the dads.
Absolutely.
I know whatever you do, I know you are so important and your kids need you. And I just want to say you're doing a great job, okay? I don't know if you hear that enough, but I want you to hear it from me. So have a great weekend, and I will see you Monday. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.